Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just say this: I see miracles, I see blessings, I see anointings, I see callings, I see the power of God in display in this place. God will work as we let Him work. He'll do what we let Him do. Today, I receive it. Right now, I receive it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. I want you to turn in your Bibles with me very fast. Amen. In Romans chapter 8, verse 14, a crucial scripture is given to the church. It's vastly important. I think we take it too lightly, seriously. I don't think we listen as much as we ought to. And we ought to hear what this is telling us. When I was growing up, I've watched different churches. I thank God for my connection to my pastor. You know, I mean, I can say this for myself. I heard a great man of God one time say it on television. He was talking about himself. He said, my batting average isn't 100, but it's getting better every day. How many know we ought to have a better batting average? We're getting better. We're improving in what we do. And what are we improving in? What are we working on to improve? We're working on the improvement of our ability to do this. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I really think I could preach this sermon, this one scripture, a year. I really mean that. I believe I could just, if I just went after this one scripture, I could exhaust your ability to even hear it. It'd be so much information for us to understand. I mean, you know, it sounds simple. And I think I told this maybe Wednesday night or whatever. I knew that we were running out of gas. We have 100 gallon tanks or whatever, those tall tanks that you fill up. I didn't buy an outdoor thing. I didn't hook up a big, huge propane tank to my house. I just put 4 propane tanks that you could hook up to your stove or whatever it is. And the Lord spoke to me one afternoon and said, you better go get gas. I had known it in the natural, but you know, sometimes it helps to have the inspiration of the Spirit. Amen. Have you all ever had times? I tell you, husbands know this. When your wife tells you to do something, you better do it. I mean, she has some wisdom about her. And the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He urged me to go get gas. Well, I put a tank in my car that morning just in the back of my truck. I didn't have the trailer, so I had to. Usually, I just take the trailer, hook it up to the trailer, put it on the trailer, safer. But I knew I could get to the trailer if I could just get this empty tank, which it was empty, so I didn't think it was a problem. I put it in the back of my truck. My wife said, what are you doing? I said, I'm going to get gas. And she kind of chuckled, you know. But I just knew. Well, the next morning, we get up in the tank. I've got the tank ready to go and everything. My wife took a shower, and when she got done with her shower, the little light at our house and the beeper went off. Beep, beep, beep. Immediately, I knew we're out of gas. Now, had I not gone to get gas, I'd have stunk all day. How many know I needed a shower? And God knew how to tell me a day in advance to go get gas. Now, that might seem simple to some, but I'm working every day. I want you to know this. I'm working every day to become more acquainted with the presence of God, more of aware of when He speaks, more aware. And He cares about my shoes. He cares about my hair. He cares about my day. He cares about my bills. Listen, there's nothing that He doesn't care about that I'm going through in life, and He knows how to keep me safe at every red light. Come on, somebody. He knows how to keep my kids safe all year long. You don't know this, but I've driven by and watched these buses go up and down the road. I want you to know something. It isn't just the driver that's getting your kids to school safe. It's God who's watching over those buses. When they get there and nobody's walked through our school system, we haven't had one of those types of things. And I want you to know something. I'm confessing every day. I drive around the schools. I drive up. They don't even know I'm there. I just drive around the school and speak in tongues and pray in the Spirit over your children's schools. I command them to be safe. I command the roads to be safe. I command the doors to be safe. I don't know if you do that. We should, believers. We should stand against every wile of the devil. We should stand against him every chance we get. You shouldn't let your voice be absent or silent as you ride down the road. You got to realize you got the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. He's working to do miracles and signs and wonders. And we need to take authority. How many know we have authority in the name of Jesus? Come on, somebody, you've got authority where you are. You have authority over evil spirits. You have authority to win. Somebody say, I'm going to win. Come on, from victory to victory, from glory to glory. God wants us to win in every area of life. I want you to look at your wife and say, we're going to win. That was lame. I mean, some of you are going through trouble and trials, and you're going through fighting at home. Some of you fought on the way to church. We're going to win. You got to get your mouth open and start talking to the devil. Do you know where he's at? He's under your feet. Come on, somebody. The devil's under your feet. You're a victor. You're victorious. Talk to him like you mean it, man. Man, if somebody was come to steal from your house, you'd go to war with them. You know, I mean, you know, somebody broke in your garage and was stealing your bike. You'd chase them down the road, screaming and hollering, stop, stop. Then when it comes to the devil, we're going in. I want you to know, I want the devil to know that no weapon that you've ever formed against me, I don't know about nobody else in this church. I don't know what one of them is going through. I'm just talking about me. Not one weapon you've ever formed against me shall ever. I'm not afraid of the devil. I'm not scared of what he's going to do. I've got no room for him. The Bible says to resist the devil. Oh, I don't know where I'm at today. Am I in the right place? Have I got a church? See, the Bible says when you do that, the Bible says that he'll run in terror. He'll flee from you. That means run in terror. In other words, he's scared. You know, you ever yelled at a dog and it run away from you? You know, you know, get out of here, and it takes off. It curls up and runs away. That's the devil. Every time you face him and tell him who you are in Jesus Christ, that he has no right in your health. He has no right in your body. Listen, he's got no right in my money. Let's take a few minutes because some of y'all need what I'm talking about. See, I know the prices are going up. I went to buy groceries, normally about $200. This time it was $400. Well, don't look at me like you ain't been there. Now you're starting to buy. You're not buying Cheerios anymore. You're buying them Flakos. Y'all know what I'm talking about? The discount bag with. You don't even know where that's been before you got it. We don't buy Jif anymore. No. I'm going to tell you something. I've got the power of God living on the inside of me. And that no weapon that's ever been formed against me will ever prosper. I'm standing by the power of the Holy Ghost. Church, you have authority over your body. You have authority over your mind. You have authority over your finances. You have authority over your children. Come on, somebody. Speak God over them. Speak what God speaks of them. Say what God said. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they're the sons of God. Our leading is the key to our total success. The Bible says the devil comes to steal the word. That's what he comes to do. When we read the story of the different types of ground, and there was tares in one ground, heat on another ground, different types of tares. Every time that the tares were attacked, it was not to destroy them. See, you are not eternal. When you're born, you are natural. But you serve an eternal God. Now, you will be. You will be. When you die, you become a spirit. You live as a spirit, and you'll be eternal with God or not with God. I don't know that we even understand this. For everybody in this room, the understanding of eternity is, and every once in a while, occasionally, we have a funeral here at Family Worship Center, or I'll go to one. You know, I'm actually pretty excited at this point. It just seems like people just get old here, and eventually it gets old. They want to go to heaven, and they leave. But overall, I can't think of, in the last couple of years, people, maybe a few, that had a sickness or something that died in our church. That's good. But every time I've stood over the casket, eternity rolls through me. I'm just being real serious with you. Eternity rolls through me. The consequence of decisions and what it means long term. We glaze and graze through life like it just doesn't matter. We just take inventory of a church or whatever it is. We come, we have no place that we really are looking for the presence of God to come. This is what I'm talking about, being led by the Holy Spirit. That means that whatever I need to give up, I give up. Whatever I need to do, I do. Because there is an eternal weight connected to what I do. Eternity doesn't begin on July 9, 1967 and end whenever my day ends. I'm going to live whatever years they are. It might be 80, it might be 100. I saw today a lady was 107 years old. Wow. At some point, that life ends, and her normal life now will become eternal. That is a moment that has a beginning at the end of the normal, but no ending. I mean, it has zero ending. There's no ending to it. And the choices that we make and the decisions that we make and the influences that we allow and the things that we continue as the Spirit of God leads and guides us, thank God for the Holy Ghost, have consequences that are not 80 years. They are not 107 years. They begin on the end of a normal life, but they never end. Eternity. Now, let's go to the basics of eternity. There's two sides to eternity. One is to live with God. Eternally living with God. Even in that living with God, the Bible says He'll wipe all the tears out of our eyes. I have a feeling that when we get to heaven and we sit there and He begins to go through the situations of our life and the choices that we made and the ones we didn't make, the time that God said, I need you to pray for them, lay hands on them, anoint them, speak to them, and we didn't do it. And they ended up somewhere they shouldn't have ended up because we didn't do our job. Nobody's shouting now. I think we're going to have some tears. I think there'll be some moments we say, God, I'm sorry I didn't. I wish I would have. Although it all be joy and full of God's glory and the light of God will be there and our happiness will be secure and the joy of God will be secure, I just want to say there's a weight for all of us. And we come in and we see as church members, we tend to have the propensity to be evaluators. We count the people, we look at whether the music was good or not, they did a good job, and we make evaluations about it. But that's because we don't have the fire in us to stop making evaluations and pressing into God where we can get more from the Lord. See, if you're not hungry, you can't ever be full. When I see agnostics, and I mean this in a different way, I'm not talking about the actual idea of the word agnostic. I talk about people who are neither hot nor cold. I don't know why I'm on this, but I got it today. It's not a Holy Ghost message other than the Holy Ghost is the one leading it. I would that you would be hot or cold. But if you're lukewarm, I will, see, there's a few of you already saying it, spew. What does this mean? Does it mean, what is he trying to say? He's trying to say there's a place with God where I'm not real. I've got a veneer. Why am I preaching this? I've got a veneer. But when God began to speak to me and deal with me, I rejected what he said to the point now I don't even hear it. And I just do the same stuff and do the same stuff and make less decisions for God than I ever did. And when I get to church, the pastor's got to leap, holler, jump, scream, run the aisles, pray, cry for me to have any emotions, because that's all I've got. I don't have anything burning on the inside. All I got is this emotional stuff. And if you can stir me up, man, can you give away a few more ice cream sandwiches? I'm preaching real good now. I don't get anything out of the church. That's because something's wrong with you. It is not because I have sat in churches where the preacher preached nothing that got to me, and all of a sudden one word impacted me. It doesn't take 100 words, it just takes one word. It just takes one word. If I'm hungry, one word is sufficient to fill me up. One word will get me to go home and pray a little bit more. One word will speak to my heart. But when you're cold, I could preach till my face fell off and it wouldn't matter because you couldn't be touched. It's not because the preacher's not preaching. It's because the listener's not listening. Right now I'm preaching to everybody in the room. See, we can't be cold. It's either that we're hot or that we're cold. Listen, stop faking church. If you're going to be a sinner, be a sinner. I'm serious. If you're going to be a sinner, go get every porn movie you can. Get every sinful thing you can do. Steal from every store you can go to. Stop faking it. But if you're going to be a Christian, then be a Christian. Then be a witness. Then be somebody that makes an impact. Then be somebody that makes somebody turn the corner. Then be somebody that throws the bad out and keeps the good. Be somebody that obeys God and stops disobeying God. I'd rather you were hot or cold. It's being led by the Holy Spirit. It's being led to transition, to transform, to deny, to resist, to reject, and that nothing else matters. I just want to know, what's worth more than your eternity in heaven? I really want to know. I really want to know, what girl is worth your eternity? What man is worth your eternity? How much money? How many cars? What house is worth your eternity? I want you to know for me. I can't talk for you. I can only talk for me. As for me and my house. As for me and my house. I wish more people in this place could say it. I wish more people would get down on their face and say, God, you're the most important thing in my life. And where do I need to adjust? Where do I need to change? We live ignorant, like we can just ignore it. You can't ignore it, especially if you're going to come here because the Holy Spirit talks here. I have spent time. I came and prayed last night. I sat in this room and waited on the Lord. I waited on Him to speak to me. And God yanked up out of my spirit that there's more for this church and more for these people. And all we have to do is seek first the kingdom of God. I didn't write it. No one should be mad. Nobody get mad. Well, I'm quitting. Every time he preaches, he gets under my skin, steps on my toes. Then you better wear some steel-toed boots because I'm keeping on stepping. I'm not going to stop. It's no good. What good is it as a pastor who has fear of the people? It's not going to happen. I don't care if everybody leaves. I know you won't leave because I know if I'm preaching, you're going to stay. I know you're going to stay. It might take me a year or two to get under those nails and under those shoes, but I'm telling you, the word of God is quick. It's powerful. And to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, I know I'm preaching. I know I'm speaking. I know what I'm saying. God's working. Somebody's changing. You just keep sitting here. Act like you want to act because I'm telling you I'm going to keep preaching and it's going to change you because the word changes us. The word changes us. The word changes us. There's nothing worth more than my eternity. Nothing is worth more than my choice for God. Nothing is worth. I'll shout as loud as I've got to shout. Dance as much as I've got to dance because nothing. There are times you preach and then there are times you prophesy. I'm prophesying your change. I speak it over you now in the name of Jesus. That you'll become uncomfortable. That you'll become dissatisfied. That you'll become unsatisfied with where you're at and what you're doing and the stuff. And you'll say, it's just not worth it. I don't know how I'm going to make it. That's not the point. He said, don't take thought for tomorrow. For tomorrow, for take thought for itself. Don't you worry about what you got to eat or what you got to drink. I want you to know something. God knows how to take care of you. He knows how to take care of your family. If he doesn't, then he's a liar. But my God is not a liar. He's the truth. And he said, if you'll take the truth, if you'll get the truth and know the truth, that the truth, you're not free without the truth. You're not free unless the truth sets you free. To be led by the Spirit of God. See, this is this whole thing. But this is the day of Pentecost. It's a day we're to celebrate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was poured out for us to be blessed. And as I preach this, I'm not preaching this so that you have less. That's not the point. God's plans are better than our plans. Not enough shouting on that one. God's ways are better than our ways. God's ability is bigger than my ability. God's eyes see more than I see. God's ears hear more than I hear. I can trust in the Lord with all of my heart. Oh, I didn't get enough of that. I don't have to lean on my own understanding. But in all my ways, I can acknowledge him. Say this out loud, I'm getting better. Come on, say it out loud, I'm getting better. My life is changing. I'm following God. And I know that the blessings of the Lord will come upon me and overshadow me. Now, for those that kept your mouth shut, that's the problem. You sat there, I don't get nothing. I don't get nothing. But you don't open your mouth. You don't raise your hands. You don't jump up and down. You don't sing. You don't dance. I'm not getting nothing. No, there's something wrong. You got to reach out to God. You got to step toward the Lord. Draw nigh to me. And I will draw. You can't shame God into working for you. Oh, it's working. It's working. It's working. It's working. Oh, Lord, let me touch you. Let me shake you. Let me stir you. Let me do something. God, speak out of this mouth. Everybody, your breakthrough is tied to his leading. Your manifestation is rooted in the leading of the Holy Spirit. You can't have the leading of the Holy Spirit unless you have the fire of God. You have to keep the fire burning. When I got saved, everybody in this room should know what I'm talking about. It was easy to call him my first love. I didn't need a preacher to stir me. I didn't need somebody to preach a good word. I was looking for any word. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I didn't even know the difference. I didn't know there was this kind and that kind and the other kind and hold that other. I didn't know. All I knew was God. A donkey could have talked and I'd have been happy. I was looking for him in the rain, in the wind. I didn't care what. I mean, does anybody know what I'm talking about? I mean, you wake up in the morning and put fleeces before God. If it rains on Tuesday, I know it's your will. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Do you know what I'm talking about? See, I feel this way because when I was dating my wife, you know, we started dating. And we got, you know, started. I got getting serious. You know how you get fire? Don't act like you don't. But when you get fire for somebody, does anybody know what that's like? Hey, baby. 3 o'clock in the morning. Hey, baby. Now you guys got cell phones, it's all night, but when we were growing up, they only had the 50-foot cord. You know what I'm talking about? Mama's yelling, get off the phone, get off the phone, get off the phone, get off the phone. But you stretched that cord as far as you could. You shut that, hey, baby, how are you, baby? You get off first. Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? You hang up first. No, baby. You could say that for 20 minutes, hang up first. No. I love you. Hang up. No. That's how I was with Jesus, man. That day after he came into my heart, there was a fire. See, he called that first love. And he told the Revelations, he said this, he said, you in Revelation, he said this, you gave up. That's crazy, isn't it? You gave up your first love. I mean, the kind of love that said neither height nor depth nor principalities nor powers nor rulers in wicked places nor enemies of any kind. That was my first love. And I want you to know something. As believers, every one of us need to ask God for our first. Not my wife's first love. Not my husband making me, but my falling in love with Jesus. I'm in love with Jesus, and he's in love with me. I'm in love with Jesus, and he's in love with me. He hasn't changed his commitment to you not one time. But what about you? What about you? And so Romans tells us if we're led by the Spirit. I found this scripture that I want to encourage you with. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 11. The children of Israel were walking through the wilderness. As they're walking through the wilderness, they're in a desert place. They are starving for food. They are hungry. And Matthew tells us this, they that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. I went to the beach yesterday. We left Thursday. I had not eaten all day. My kids hadn't either. We asked Brian, Brian, when's the last time you ate? He couldn't even remember if he'd eaten. And I'm like, well, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We go into Captain George's and we're going to eat crab legs. They went broke on the McCart family. Oh, y'all didn't catch that. I ate till I could not eat no more. I just ate and ate and ate. Had to change my shirt. You understand what I'm talking about? Because all the grease had run down the front of I'm covered with grease. Blah. But I'm going to tell you why. I didn't eat at McDonald's before I went there. I didn't stop at Taco Bell. I didn't get me a whole bunch of drinks, buddy. When I got there, boy was hungry. My kids were hungry. My daughter loves crab legs, man. I mean, we're like getting plates for you. Like we're carrying back two plates at a time. They that hunger and thirst. Yeah, I know you got a life. I know you got a career. I know you got a plan. I know you got things in front of you. But it can't be without the thing at the center. He's in the middle. He's not on the outsides. He's not the sand around the box. He's the box. My eternity depends on following the Holy Spirit. And so when they went into the wilderness, the Bible says that he came, this scripture, that he came to the rock. And they're thirsty. They're asking him for water. It's a desert place. Folks, we go through deserts in our life. We go through moments of dryness. But we get thirsty. And I want to say this about the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that he struck the rock. And when he struck the rock, the Bible says water gushed out from it. I want you to know something. The Holy Spirit has a gushing for your life. He's got a gushing for your finances. He's got a gushing for your marriage. He's got a gushing for your children. I'm talking about gushing waters from the Holy Spirit. And if you're thirsty, you can fill yourself. The Bible said they filled themselves and all their livestock. God wants to fill you so full that everything around you gets fed. Everything around you gets full. He wants to pour out so much power. He's coming out in the desert places. He comes out in the lonely places. He comes out in the alone places. He comes out where nobody else can come out. He gushes out for us. I want you to know you can reach out to God and the Holy Spirit will gush towards you. Somebody say amen. Amen. The gushing power of healing. The gushing power of deliverance. The gushing power of overcoming. There are several ways to keep yourself hot. Number one is to be led by the Holy Spirit. Led by the Holy Spirit. Stop doubting every place God sends you. Just go and do. Give God here's what I've done with, here's what I like to do with God. I go to God and I say, God, I'm going this way. If this is wrong, stop me. If this is wrong, stop me. And you notice, I've always noticed this. When he stops me, he always shows me the right place. The water flowed out. Gushing realms of life came out to them. Second, there's got to be wood. Has to be wood. I want you to know this. I'm going to say it over and over and over and over and over. For 23 years I've said it. I'm not stopping. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God. And let me tell you something, you can contaminate the message. You got to be careful what you hear, because you can stand up and shout at the good stuff, but you better walk out at the bad stuff. Amen. What are you talking about? My daughter made a cookie. How many of you had your daughters make you food? Raise your hand. The first one is unique. Would you all agree? And they always substitute the wrong thing. Like, she thought salt was something else. And she filled the cookies full of salt. Now, let me tell you, I ate the first cookie. And all I got was a bitter, awful tasting piece of cookie, nothing but salt. I smiled. You know how you do as parents? And all I could think was, this is awful. You know what I'm talking about? I couldn't tell her it was awful. Last night she cooked chicken and she's like, I cooked the best chicken in the whole world. That's my daughter, right? And it probably was, but it sure wasn't that first time. That first time, there wasn't nothing nice about that or good at all. It was just bad. Bad. She contaminated the ingredients. I mean, she thought it was a cookie. It looked just like a cookie, smelled like a cookie, baked like a cookie. It actually came out looking like a good-looking cookie. Had chocolate chips in it. Have you ever had a chocolate chip cookie with nothing but salt? You better understand sometimes what you're being taught. And I'm going to say this. The message matters more than anything you get at the church. And what you hear better be truth. And not a lie. Here's why I say this. Leviticus says it this way. And the fire upon the altar shall be burning in it. It shall not be put out. And the priest shall burn wood on it every morning. And lay the burnt offering upon it. And he shall burn thereon the fat of the peace offering. The fire shall never burn out on the altar. It will never go out. You got to put wood on the fire. It takes the word to fire the fire. You got to put, I noticed a log is never fired and never on fire when it's put in the fire. It's always dull and sometimes wet, but when you put it on the fire, the fire comes up and lights the wood. You got to put wood. You got to put the word in your life. You got to fill yourself with the word of God. When you fill yourself with it, stop relying on somebody else just to give you the word. Read it for yourself. If it's just one verse, goodness gracious, you got to put some wood. You got to put some wood on the fire. You got to keep being filled. The Bible says, be being filled with the Holy Spirit, not just filled once. You can't just hear it once. It didn't say hearing and that was it. It said hearing and hearing. the Word of God. That means that it's continuous hearing. It's not a one-time word. You got to come open up your spiritual ears and say, God, I don't know what He's going to say, but one word's all I need. God, open me up. Open me up. Stop fighting the Word. Stop resisting the Word. Accept the Word. Accept it. The Word of God is the strategy for keeping the fire on. You got to be addicted to the Word. It keeps the fire burning. The fire keeps the beasts away, but it also keeps you warm. I mean, think of all that the fire does. Burning wood, every moment's important. Proverbs 26:20. Listen to this. Where there is no wood, there is no fire. So where there's a talebearer, strife ceases. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. Listen, there are people sitting in here right now. I want you to know, in the past couple months, I have preached some of the best sermons that you could ever get. I have preached some of the strongest word that you could ever get. It's the truth. You come on those Wednesday nights, I've lit it up. I've preached two sermons on Sunday that were different every Sunday. I've preached five times a week, four and five times a week. And there are people in the world who say, I ain't getting nothing. Let me help you clear it up. I just want to make it as clear as I can. The problem ain't the preacher. Problem ain't the preacher. Where there is no wood, there's no fire. See, your fire's out. God, send the fire. Send us the fire of the Holy Ghost. Send us the power of the Holy Ghost. Put so much power on you instead of you just being a laborer that when you go to work, you become an evangelist. Instead of you going telling dirty jokes and listening to dirty jokes and making fun of people and laughing at the stuff they laugh at, that you stand up and say, Jesus, 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 Jesus. It was hard in athletics. Look, when I played sports, you went in the locker room and everybody had a cuss word. And especially the better you get. The better kids always cuss more than everybody else. This is the truth. Blah, 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 blah. Now, if their mom ever heard that, we'd have been in trouble. But it's in the locker room. I'm talking to me now. I'm talking to me. I'm talking about where I'm at. I want you to know that every time I walked in a locker room, now, I never made it to be a great athlete, but I'm a pretty good preacher. I would always lift up Jesus. They'd start cussing, coming around me, and I'd just say it. Just say, Jesus. If I was in the bus riding, I'm the one that was singing the gospel tunes. I'll tell you why. You want to know why? More than anything else that matters in life. I don't care how many boats you own.
Amen.
Steve Jobs had everything you could want and every kind of house you could want and all the money you could want and everything you could possibly want in life.
Take it all.
He couldn't take any of it with him. But the one thing, there is one thing. Take this whole world. Why can't we take him with us? Why can't he go with us in the rooms? Why can't he be where we are? Why can't we act different and talk different and walk different? Why can't we be the light of God in the midst of a dark world? Why can't we stand and say, I am the son and I'm the daughter of God. And I won't allow foul language and dirty things and nasty stuff to come out of my life. Hey, I'm preaching to somebody this morning. You can look at the floor or stare at the wall. I want you to know something. I know who I'm preaching to. And it's a church that needs what I'm preaching. I don't know who it is. I don't know your lives. I don't see you on a daily basis. I didn't go to your house. I haven't watched your television. I haven't gone where you go. But the Holy Spirit's been everywhere you've been. He went everywhere you went. He did everything you did. He knows. All right, I'm unfinished. I'm going to finish. Just two more things, and I'm going to close these out. I've gone over. My wife's going to be mad. But see, I started late, so I'm ending late. Nobody laughed at that. That's pretty funny. Acts 2:42 says this, they stayed continually in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread and in prayers. They stayed continually in it. They didn't run from it. You can't run from a word. You can't run away from what God's saying. You can't escape what he wants to tell you. Don't run from it. Run to it. Build yourselves up. The Bible says that this is Acts 1:14. They all continue with one accord in one place praying. I want you to know the second thing after the word is prayer. You've got to pray. You've got to be a prayer. Lastly, I want you to turn with me over to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Put this on the screen. Ephesians 5:18-20. That's the sign. Time. Okay. 5 minutes. All right. He doesn't run it, but I just thought I'd acknowledge him. So, Ephesians 5, are you there? Verse 18, are you there? Are you there? Who's not there? Who didn't get there? Be not drunk with wine, where is an excess, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That means you turn away. You turn away. Doesn't mean you have to reject people. That's not what we're saying. And here's what he says to do. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. And making melody in your heart. Don't get drunk on wine. Get drunk on the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Get drunk on the Holy Ghost. It won't just be that you make up your mind to get excited about God. No. It's that you go in your prayer closet. Okay, God, here's time. Yesterday, I didn't want to come up here. I'm going to be honest with you. The basketball game was on. It was 8 o'clock, and I was pulling for the Celtics. Praise God. So I got to say, if you're a Miami Heat fan, I'm sorry for you. We'll see you on Monday. Somebody say amen. I didn't want to come. I'd worked all day. I'd done stuff. And I'm sitting on the couch in the Holy Spirit to be led by, you need to go. And it wasn't because I needed to pray. It was because I made a commitment to him that I would. Yes. I said, Amy, I gotta go up to the church. I might have even said, I don't feel like it. Jumped in my car and drove up here. And I got up here and began to pray, and the Lord came in the room. It was because I wanted him. And it cost me 8 o'clock and 8:30 and 9 o'clock to have him today. To have him flood my life today. It wasn't just that I wanted him. It's I made up my mind to have him. Does anybody hear what I'm trying to tell you? There's more. There's more, and it's worth it. It's worth it to take a minute. It might have only been 5 minutes. I could have just driven up here for 5 minutes. But the fact that I got in my car and said, Lord, I'm going to go pray. You got to pray. And then I turned on one of my favorite preachers, Bishop Oyedepo, and I listened to him preach. I can't even understand him half the time because he's from Africa and you hardly know what he says, but it's good. I could feel the presence come off of it. I needed to hear it. I just needed to hear the word. I didn't have to know everything he said. I couldn't even understand the language, really. But I could sense the Spirit on it. And all I needed was one word. I didn't need a whole message. I just needed. Ooh, hallelujah. One word. And then as I'm riding home on my way back to the basketball game, I began to sing. I love him for he is mine. I love him for he is divine. I love him forever, you see. This Jesus, the Nazarene.